Warning. The system has become unstable.
This whole system is deeply flawed, and that's why I talk a lot about free markets and property rights, Austrian economics, and getting rid of the Fed. All these things are now up for grabs. A lot of people, especially the young people, are looking at this. So for this reason, I'm a bit encouraged by what might come out of this. But I think we're going to go through the ringer. I think it's going to get much, much worse, and it's bad enough already. But there's no way that we can step back. The one thing I'm convinced of after having spent so much time in Washington is that this will not be a gradual recovery from this disaster that we have. We're not going to elect enough people and enough courage to vote the right way. And there's too much demagoguing and too much misunderstanding that people would revolt. But the collapse will come. It's going to hit the dollar. And then we're going to have our opportunity. So the more people who are protected intellectually as well as financially, the better off we'll be in rebuilding what we'll have, what we'll need to do in the near future.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
The threats to our way of life are legion. If you want to survive, you need a plan. The 7-Step Survival Plan by best-selling preparedness experts David Cobbler and Mark Goodwin will provide a blueprint to make sure you're ready for the dark days ahead. The book covers all the prepper basics, including bug-out bags, barter items, and security. Survival favors the prepared. Buy the 7-Step Survival Plan in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today. Hey, preppers and patriots, this is part two of my conversation with Dr. Dennis Cuddy on the New World Order and the globalist agenda. Enjoy the show. Now, you mentioned the Weimar economic collapse. Now, Do you think that was an engineered collapse? And if do you think that America is on that same path? And are we going to have an engineered economic collapse? And at the same time, while you're answering all of that, is there already somebody picked out that's going to be that strong man, that savior waiting in the wings like Hitler was?
Well, what you have to understand is the power elite isn't just like, okay, we got Obama and the Democrats. They really have their people groomed from a young age in both major political parties. And as I said, Skull and Bones and these guys are in on that too. That particular part of the sort of conspiracy was by the Whitney family in the late 1800s. William Whitney and his son, their part of the plan was that they would contribute heavily to both political parties financially, and then they would alternate power. So the stupid people would think they have a choice. And you can find that again in Carol Quigley's work, Tragedy and Hope, in 1966. He says basically the same thing. The public's too stupid to know what to do, and you should alternate power without really changing things that much. And your listeners, if they don't know who Quigley is, he's Bill Clinton's mentor. Quigley and the Dulles brothers' son, Avery Dulles. Avery Dulles had changed to become a Catholic, and he was at Georgetown University. And he and Quigley saw to it that this young guy from Hope, Arkansas, Bill Clinton, became a Rhodes Scholar because he was planned back then to become president, down the road. And he was. And that's why George H.W. Bush lost on purpose in 1992. He said, what, George Bush lost on purpose? Yeah, he had to lose on purpose. They have an agreement, I'll lose, and then my kid, George W., will come along, and you'll elect him. But the reason George H.W. Bush, who was also, a puppet of the power elite, went along with this was that they needed enough Democrat votes to get NAFTA and then GATT, which is part of the power elite's controlling economic global mechanism. And they had some Republican votes to go for NAFTA and GATT, but they needed Democrat votes because Democrats, labor unions, they were largely against it. So they needed Bill Clinton in there to twist enough Democrat senators' arms to approve NAFTA because NAFTA and GATT were really, really, really important. You say, well, how do you know this is important? Well, another Rhodes Scholar, Richard Gardner, in the April 1974 issue of Foreign Affairs, which is the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations magazine, wrote an article back then called The Hard Road to World Order. And in there, he said, what we'll do is instead of the old-fashioned frontal attack, we'll do an end run around national sovereignty, instead of the old-fashioned frontal attack. Will get us further along to our new world order, you know, a house of world order, and then explained in that same article how they would use GATT to do it. Now, that's like 20, 30 years before GATT's even, you know, passed by Congress. So this planning goes way, way back. The plan for now, just like Obama, was planned. Obama just didn't happen along. Obama is, you know, a young fellow. He's at Occidental College, and Occidental College is a small college, but it's key to a lot of things. You know, like when I was in the Reagan administration, the first council member of the presidential commission that I worked for back then, he was head of Occidental College. And so he's at Occidental College, and they watch him. You know, they watch him carefully, and they plan that this guy is going to be useful to us. You know, he'll be the first black president, and so forth. It's like, this is like 30 years in advance, right? And so he's deliberately sent to Columbia University to, you know, to attend to college after Occidental. And so he transfers to Columbia University, and they interviewed about about 400 members of his major class, seniors, major class in his field of interest, and they can't remember the guy. They can't remember Obama in any classes. You know, where's Obama who? Barack who? However, they do remember there was a lot of people who said, oh, yeah, Barack, yeah, he's spending a lot of time with Brzezinski. Now, this is a college kid, and he's spending a lot of time with Brzezinski there, you know, at Columbia in New York. Now, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. See, when you spend a lot of time as a young person with Brzezinski, you're being groomed. It's not just that you want to, but Brzezinski is putting up with you, you know, as a young college kid for all this time. So he's being groomed, and he took a side trip, remember, to Pakistan. This is back in the day when, you know, who wants to go to Pakistan? You know, back in the 1980s. It's sort of like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, when the Soviet Union was still the evil empire, he was a Rhodes Scholar over in London, and he took a side trip to Moscow. You know, what's a Rhodes Scholar American taking a side trip to the capital of the evil empire? I mean, what's he doing over there? Well, that's part of his assignment. Goes away. So anyway, these two guys, Quigley and Avery Dulles, were the ones who got Bill Clinton his Rhodes Scholarship. And why I mentioned Quigley is Quigley loved the power elite. His book, Tragedy and Hope, is about the power elite. The hope in the title, Tragedy and Hope, the hope is for these power elite. He loved these guys. He thought the public was too stupid to know what to do. And so because of that, they led him, Quigley, in the early 1960s, look at there what he called the secret records. Secret records. And so a friend of mine, when Quigley had been interviewed by the Washington Post, gave me the tapes of the interview. He said, well, how'd your friend get the tapes of the interview? Well, what happened was the Post wrote a column after interviewing Quigley, and they titled it, the Washington Post, about Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor. They titled this article, quote, "The Professor Who Knew Too Much." Quigley knew too much, end quote. So a year later, Quigley dies, you know. These things happen. So Quigley dies, and the friend of mine went to Quigley's wife and said, hey, can I buy his stuff? And she said, okay, sure, okie dokie. And so she sold him everything, including the tapes, including the Secret Society membership list from the 1890s, and so I've got that stuff. And so, you know, so all of this stuff is planned. And so in my last chapter of the book, The Power Elite, The History and Future, or actually the next to last chapter, I go through the future. And I said, okay, the alternation of power looks like this. Barack Obama screws up over and over again, and by the final year, 2016, the economy isn't doing so well because they've gotten us into a global economy, and that means if Greece goes under, that affects the European Union, which affects us. And even if we're doing okay, it doesn't matter. You know, these things are all so interconnected. It's a domino effect, right? That's how the 2008 crisis developed to a global crisis. And so things will get so bad that the public say, oh, we had enough of this. We must elect a Republican. And so the plan, but now remember, Jeb Bush, for example, would be ideal. But he's not the only one. It's not like he's their only candidate. They have a variety of candidates. But anyway, so Jeb Bush comes in, and he wins, and he tries valiantly to save the economy, but oops, we just can't quite make it. And so the plan is for a world currency by 2018. So the economic collapse sort of. I mean, it won't be total collapse. They don't want a total collapse because they don't. You know, they want to have something to control. They don't want to just destroy everything. So what you have is the dollar becomes less and less value. The yen, the won, the pound, the lira, the mark, all this sort of stuff is so debased and debauched and worth nothing. Like it's almost like Zimbabwe currency, where you have to have a million, bazillion, whatever, to buy a loaf of bread over there. So it becomes so worthless. It's still around. The dollar will still be around, but it becomes so devalued that the only way to maintain global financial economic stability is to have a single world currency. And so that'll show up, the plan is, in 2018. You say, Cuddy, how do you know 2018? Well, if you know where to look, you can find this stuff. So, for example, if you look at the January 9th, 1988 cover of The Economist magazine, that's a British publication hooked up with British intelligence, on the cover it says, world currency plan for 2018. Pencil in the phoenix. They're going to call it the phoenix. Why? Because it'll rise from the economic ashes of the past. So pencil in the phoenix for 2018. That's 30 years in advance, 1988, plan for 2018. You say, well, that's just one thing. No, no, no. In my book, I put at least a couple of other more recent conferences of the G8 where they say the same thing. It's like about 2013, there was a conference. They said, yeah, it looks like 2018's roughly when we'll have this world currency. Now, all these other currencies will still be around, but they'll use for international transactions this new world currency, perhaps probably called the Phoenix. And then, just like a lot of people in Europe switched to the euro from their own, you know, the franc or the mark or whatever, and gradually what will happen is people will go more and more from their own national currency to this global currency. So that's planned for 2018. And then what will happen is through some, you know, crisis in 2020, Jeb Bush or whoever will be reelected. And then in 2024, you have the alternation of power. And then time in 2024 at the end, in November, becoming president in 2025 will be a liberal woman, first president woman, Democrat, will be elected president then. So you have your alternation of power, you have your first woman, and she'll be a new ager, but she won't call herself a new ager. What she'll say is, can't we all agree, you know, Muslims, Jews, Christians, you know, Catholics, aren't there things we can all agree on and just sort of the Rodney King, you know, right? Can't we all just sort of live together? And so that's the way she'll present herself, and she'll be elected, and that's the, you know, that's your alternation of power moving forward. You say, well, why then? Well, because in 1933, Alice Bailey, who's the leading occultist at the time, early 20th century in the world, said in 1933 that the world state would be taking, world government would be taking rapid shape by 2025. See, it's like 90 years in advance. You say, what? How can anybody know this stuff 90 years in advance? Well, they do. For example, Robert Hugh Benson in 1907 wrote Lord of the World. Lord of the World, 1907. And in 1907, this guy said in 1917, the communist movement will come to the fore, you know, like it did, 10 years after that. And they said in 1989 will be the Western scheme of free trade, you know, NAFTA get. And they said in 1998, there will be ministers of euthanasia, you know, Jack Kevorkian, and all that sort of stuff. So way in advance, they have all this stuff sort of laid out and the timetable for all of this stuff. And so that's what I'm thinking. 2025, it'll be taking the final world government taking rapid shape. It won't be complete, but it'll be taking rapid shape, and that'll be your first woman, New Age leader, liberal Democrat president at that stage. And so that's what the near future looks like.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to katiearmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
And Dr. Cuddy, you've been very generous with your time, but if we could just get one more question. You mentioned the Thule Society, which is sort of the occult connection for the Nazis.
Right.
And now I would assume that, and we know that there's some really bizarre goings on. It's inside the tomb at Yale for Skull and Bones.
That's right.
And of course, George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush were both members of that society.
Yeah, and granddaddy too, Prescott Sheldon Bush, 1917.
And now George W. professed to be a very strong Christian, but now there's YouTube videos of him coming out and saying that Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and all of us pray to the same God, which is directly contradictory to what Jesus said in John 14, when he said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." So it's in direct conflict with what Jesus said for a man that professes to be a Christian.
Can you
comment on all of that? And then also at the same time, how does all of this tie into biblical prophecy?
Yeah, well, George W., like I said, he's not the brightest light in the world. And right after 9/11, he's there with the chief of police in New York, and he's standing on that, construct there at the World Trade Center site where the collapse occurred, and he made that statement then, and then in the church service right after that, he said, Allah, it was all the same. Of course, that can't be true unless God is a schizophrenic, right? And God is not a schizophrenic, but he would have to be a schizophrenic if Allah and God are the same. Why? Well, because Jesus, for Christians, is the Son of God, and he says, turn the other cheek, ye without sin cast the first stone, and so forth and so on. And Jesus didn't say, if anybody goes out and slanders me, go issue a fatwa and chop their head off. Jesus didn't do that, right? But according to Muhammad, who with the Muslims leader, the founder of the Islamic religion, if you besmirch Muhammad, fatwa comes out, go out and kill that guy. So it's difficult to see how the same God is saying two different things, the same God, Jesus said, no peace, cast the first stone, so on and so on. But the same God, it says, with Muhammad, don't say anything about him because then you do go out and slaughter the people. So anyway, God would have to be schizophrenic for them to be the same. So George Bush doesn't know what he's talking about, quite frankly. But this isn't just a Bush thing. I mean, the Catholic Pope will say sort of the same thing. It's a peaceful religion. And there are various quotes I have from the various popes, basically starting with, largely John Paul the second. John Paul the first had a very short tenure because he was going to investigate the internal shenanigans within the church, so he died rather suddenly, as they say, suddenly. So in comes John Paul the second, and he's one of these, friends with Gorbachev, peace, can we just live peace, all this sort of stuff. And then, of course, you don't want to say the leader of another faith because they haven't accepted Christ is going to hell forever, so the Pope doesn't say that. So I'm just saying it's not George Bush, the Protestant, who's saying this. The head of the Catholic Church is saying the same sort of thing. And what he says, the head of the Catholic Church says, well, these other religions have the seed of truth. They have the seed of truth. And so, it's okay. And, all these people who are Buddhists and all, they're Hindus, whatever, they go to heaven. And Barack Obama believes the same thing. He calls himself a Christian, but he talks about the beauty of the Quran. And he also, if you look in his pocket, he has these little charms in his pocket, carries around with him all the time. And one of the little charms in Barack Obama's pocket is Lord Hanuman, the Hindu monkey god idol. So, I mean, what's a Christian doing carrying around a Hindu monkey god idol in his pocket? So in terms of biblical prophecy, this is basically what the Bible says. It says that Christians, there'll be a great falling away towards the end. And what you have in terms of undermining the Christian faith is, it's like I said, it's not a direct attack. It's sort of an indirect attack. And what they will do in the Christian faith is they won't say down with Christ, down with the Bible, but they'll change the gospel so that you will find actually a lot of Christians today who call themselves Christians basically believing, well, I'm basically good and God loves me, so I'm going to heaven, so I'm okay. You know, they changed the actual biblical teaching. So, for example, they will ignore Galatians, which says fornicators go to hell forever. Now, the Bible's either a lie or it's not. Fornicators either go to hell forever or they don't, you know, like that. So a friend of mine, a woman, has this Bible study, and she's you got these young women, they go into the Bible study. At the same time, they're shacking up with some guy, you know, and they don't see any problem with that. Why? Well, you know, God will forgive me. Well, not really. Not really. You say, well, why not? Doesn't God forgive sin? Well, yeah, God can forgive sin, but the acceptance of Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is a complete acceptance. Now, Bill Clinton, he'll tell you. Bill Clinton will say that his Southern Baptist preachers told him he's going to heaven because he accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior when he's about 12 years old or something, right? So, but the problem with that is, If you're going to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it has to be complete. It's not a la carte. And I doubt very seriously that Bill Clinton on Judgment Day can look Christ in the eye and say, you've been Lord of my sex life, you know. So that doesn't fly. And so there's a reinterpretation of the Bible to be to exclude very specific admonitions that you have to do certain things and not do certain things if you're going to say that you have accepted Christ. It's not just that you made some nice announcement when you're 12 years old. Yes, I accept Jesus. It's not just these words. You have to actually accept it being, the term would be born again. You have to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You're a changed person. You don't even consider fornication or murder or lying and cheating and stealing. Does that mean we're perfect? No, we're not perfect. Everybody can slip. But there has to be, as Jesus over and over again said, lest thou repent, lest thou repent, lest thou repent. Well, I doubt Bill Clinton's done a whole lot of repenting through the years with these sexual activities. So there are all of these specific guidelines, and you can't exclude some of them and just reduce the Bible to one phrase, I'm basically good, God loves me, so what's the problem? You know, that won't work, and we know it won't work because the Bible itself says in four places that there's 2.2 billion people in the world today who call themselves Christian, 2.2 billion. But in four places in the Bible, it says only a few, it uses that word, only a few people will be chosen or saved. Just a few, not 2.2 billion, just a few. So that means hundreds of millions of people going to church on Sunday and singing, you know, hymns of praise, they're going to hell forever. You say, how can this be? How can this be? It's because of what I just said. There has been a reinterpretation of the Bible to reduce it to simply a construct of I'm basically good and God loves me. Well, that can apply to everything. It can apply to Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, whatever it is, it can apply. And that's how this world religion is going to come about. And that's what I said, this president, the first female 2025 liberal Democrat, will present herself. She'll be sort of a New Age occultist, but she'll basically go along with this trend that the Catholic Pope's gone along with. A lot of Protestants are going along with it. You know, Rick Warren, I'm basically good. God loves me, and I'm okay. I don't have to worry. I'll go out and do my thing. And what does that come from? Well, it comes from the Garden of Eden. That's what Eve got in trouble with. See, the devil didn't go to Adam first. He goes to Eve because Eve was the smarter one. See, the women are smarter than men. And so the devil goes to Eve, and he doesn't say, hi, Eve, I'm the devil. God says, don't eat the fruit. I say, eat it. He didn't do that. He did a values clarification process. He said, Eve, did God really say, what do you think about that, Eve? And what he was getting Eve to do was change the locus of control. Before then, Eve had done what God said do and not do what God said don't do. But he got Eve to start thinking for herself about what she wanted to do. As soon as he did that, then God was no longer the final moral arbiter of what Eve was going to do. Eve was the final moral arbiter of what Eve was going to do, right? And so that's self. And so that's what the devil does. He gets us to focus on self. You know, what do I want? What do I feel like? You know, and that I remember that in the 1960s. Up until then, people used to ask me, what do you think about this, Dennis? What do you think? And then they all of a sudden started, well, how do you feel about it? You know, it's feelings. Why? Because feelings are more easily manipulated. You can manipulate feelings. And so that's what the devil did with Eve. Very sneaky, very sneaky. Eve didn't even know what he was doing. But he was getting her to change the locus of control away from God to herself. To herself. And that's what the New Agers do. They call these books like The God Within. There's a fellow Lamar Alexander, he was U.S. Secretary of Education from 1991 to 93, U.S. Senator, Governor, all that stuff. He reads a book called The God Within every year, over and over again. And who is that by? Rene Dubos. Who is Rene Dubos? He is the leading New Ager of all the centuries. They took a poll of New Agers and said, yeah, Rene Dubos, the God Within. He's our man. He's a guy. So this God Within, it's the self. You know, I am God. I am the final moral arbiter of what I'm going to do. And that's what they're teaching in the public schools. I hate to say it, but the dumb parents of America and the dumb preachers of America don't even see that. Since the 60s, they kicked Bible reading, school prayer out. So what, did they stop teaching values? No, they didn't stop teaching values. So if God's not the final moral arbiter in the public school, so what teaching Johnny, Janie what's right and wrong, who is? Well, as it turns out, it's the autonomous moral decision-making student. The teacher in the class will say, well, what do you think, Johnny? You know, what do you think? Is stealing, do you want people to steal? Well, no, teacher. So anyway, but the point is, Johnny always comes out of those classes and public school lessons with Johnny is going to be the final decision maker about whether he's going to shoplift. And what he says is, oh, gee, I don't shoplift, lie, cheat, or steal most of the time. However, there are situations, see, situation ethics, in which it's okay. See, Johnny is, you know, he'll go into a store, he'll shoplift a CD, he'll come out. If you ask him, hey, Johnny, why did you shoplift? He'll say, well, I don't most of the time, but that shop owner there, he ripped me off last week, overcharged me, so I figured he owed me one. And his conscience is perfectly fine with that. And that's the mentality that you're coming out of the public schools with today. That, you know, the autonomous moral decision-making student, based on the situation, I'm going to decide what's right or wrong, not God of the Bible. And the parents and dumb preachers are allowing this to happen. They should have screamed their heads off back in the 1960s, hey, get that stuff out of here. You know, if you're going to say government is neutral, then stop this humanistic garbage that you're filling our children with, whereby you're saying you are the final moral arbiter. We at home are teaching the Bible. Bible says this, but you in the public schools, you're not doing that. This is not a government neutrality, but it's going on and on, and on, and we're reaping the consequences. You got Baltimore, you know, you got all these crises around it. That's because of that. You got abortions, right? You got out of marriage, births begin. All of that flows from this. And what is that? It tracks all the way back to the Illuminati. That's what the Illuminati said. Adam Weishaupt said, do what thou wilt. Mm. Not what God says, do what thou wilt.
Yeah, and evolution, we teach the children that they came from animals, and then we're surprised when they act like animals. And,
well,
and as you said, evolution's not neutral. It's teaching atheism, because if we evolved, if God didn't make us, then everything happened by itself. And because it doesn't have a deity doesn't mean that it's not a religion. That's still a belief system.
Right.
You believe that we evolved from nothing, and that's a belief system. And they're pushing that religious belief system over Christianity or any other for that matter. But it is a belief system that they're it's not neutral. And you said that so right. And thank you for that admonition. The Bible says without holiness, no one will see God. And in Jude, it's very, very, Jude's very, very pointed about his admonition that the blood of Christ is not a license to sin, and people that think that are deceived.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And the secret is the devil is like when you say repentance. Oh, yeah, I repented. Well, most people don't understand what repentance is. They'll say, oh, yeah, sorry about that. Now what's for lunch? That's not repentance. Repentance is for example, if you're riding down the street and a child jumps out in front of you, you hit the child, and you jump out and you're crying, oh, you know, Lord, please help me in the place of the blood and all that sort of stuff. You're really torn up, all right? So, and that's because you accidentally hit a child. Well, if you were accidentally hitting a child and you're getting all torn up, then how much more torn up should you be when you deliberately sin, let's say fornication, because our sin was placed on Christ on the cross. So it's, when you sin, it's like you're 2,000 years ago and you say to a Roman soldier, hey, give me one of those spikes, and you go wham, right into Jesus, a nail into Jesus' feet. You know, that's what our sin is. Because he took our sin upon himself at the cross. And so if you're torn up over accidentally hitting a child, you should be 1,000 times more torn up if you're, you know, going to fornicate or steal or whatever it is. But we're not. You know, we're not. It's very casual. It's just sort of a casual thing. And that's the devil's sneakiness. He's almost trying to convince us that he's not real or hell's not real. And you do that by watering stuff down. You'll find a lot of people. You'll find Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck and all, just sort of tossing out the word hell. And no, as it's a casual thing. It's not a casual thing. It's a horrible, horrible thing to be avoided. You know, it's not some bad trip somewhere that's going to end. It's eternal, you know. But the devil has convinced us that everything is now. Now, the way he's done that is what I call temporocentrism. And you get a little peek of that in the book 1984 by Orwell, where Orwell's agent, O'Brien, is torturing Winston, the hero. And Winston's saying, the people will never submit to Big Brother. And so O'Brien says, ah, but what if we quicken the tempo of human life? And so that's what they did in 1950s and 60s. The, you know, pace of life got faster. You know, rock and roll, rock music, go here, go there, zoom, zoom, zoom. The old Andy Griffith shows, you know, about a small town, slower pace of time. But now, zoom here, zoom there, zoom, 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 zoom. All of it, the music, right, the music, boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom, faster beat of music, and so forth and so on. And so you quicken the tempo of human life. Now, what does that do? Because you're so busy all the time, you don't have time to reflect. History, what's happened in the past, is not so important, and you don't have time to worry about the future. So in the terms of morality, if you talk to people, preachers don't talk about going to hell much as much as they used to, because the people are saying, well, they're interested now. You know, I've got things to do now. I got this appointment, then that appointment. Then I have to pick up Johnny. I got to get Susie at ballet practice. Bing, 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 bing. And politically, too. So you keep them dumb, right? Keep them down. They don't have time to think and reflect and learn, be educated. And you keep them so busy and entertained that they don't have time to worry about the future. They say, well, I don't have time for that, you know. So you get them dumb, then you quicken the pace of life so that even if they wanted to understand things, they say, well, I don't have time. I can't worry about that. I just can't worry about that. And so you get them to focus on the here and now. Well, if you get people to focus on the here and now, then only the here and now is important to them. Meaning like immediate sexual gratification. You know, in the past, you have biblical principles, you have a lifespan, you're supposed to get married, you stay together, you don't get divorced, da da da. Well, all that goes out the window when you're thinking of now. What do I want now? What do I feel like now? And so that's why you have a lot of guys, young guys, all they're interested is, you know, having sex as quickly as possible with some girl. Why? Because it's immediate gratification. And the same thing with, you know, marriage, a no-fault divorce. Oh, hey, no fault, right? Nobody's got any fault. I did something wrong. Hey, it's not my fault. So you create no fault for anything, and you create an attitude of immediate gratification. You get stuff on credit, right? Used to be people would have to save up their money to buy a car or a washing machine. No, no, no. I'll just wave a credit card, you know, a charge card. Hey, it's mine. Not to pay for it later, right? And so you have irresponsible economic practices that didn't used to be. You have irresponsible moral practices that didn't used to be, and you have, like you said, evolution. And when you have evolution, you can accept infanticide, you can accept abortion, you can accept eugenics, euthanasia. All of that some stuff becomes acceptable under evolution because we're just a higher form of animal. You know, that's all we are. We may be a higher form, but we're still an animal. We've just evolved, no God, and so on and so on. So all of this stuff has been very carefully planned over centuries, and that's what I write about, and I hope you know, the public will purchase my material and read my articles.
And tell us the there's so much great information. You've written so many fantastic books, but for folks that this is the first time they've heard of you, can you tell us the top three books that they should start with to read of yours?
Well, I would start with books like my most recent two, which are The Paralete, Their History and Future. And all of my books generally sell out pretty fast. Now, that one sold out, so you would have to, you know, go online to find that one. But then the second book is The Paralete and the Secret Nazi Plan. And that one is available from 800 number, 1-800-955-0116, from that number. And then the third book, it's a debate between one that I wrote called The New World Order, and another one called The Road to Socialism in the New World Order, because that's where he headed. Those, I think, would be the top three. Although, if you're interested in education, I have a 200-year education chronology, which shows how we got in the mess that we're in. And online, that 1-800 number, the toll-free number, is for newswithviews.com. And that's where my article appear every other Monday. I've had over about 300 of them. I did a series titled Conspiracy. I'm doing a series now called Common Core. I did a series on there on the Illuminati, on various subjects, on Iran, world religion. I do lots of articles on individual subjects as well as series of articles. There's a whole series, a 36-part series called Mental Health, Education, and Social Control that I did. So I do individual subject I did on economics. I've done one called Suckernomics, showing how all of this stuff in the economy has been manipulated. I did another call, Our Feudal, F-E-U-D-A-L, Feudal Future, since feudalism was an economic system that is what we're having today. People don't see it, but that's what's going on, like the 1,000 years ago, except it's a high-tech sort of feudalism. And so that would be the three main books.
And then they can go to News with View. If they want it, if they want to call, they can call 1-800-955-0116 and just order the book. Somebody will answer and take their order there. Now,
that's right.
If they go to newswithviews.com, will they be able to order online from there?
Yes. Yes, all they can order online and read the articles.
And then folks that really, you know, they want to help get this message out. They want to tell their friends about it. Do you have some suggestion for those folks of what they can do to help spread this message?
Well, I would suggest when you're not listening to this program, you're probably somewhere there's a local talk show, a local public talk show. I would suggest you call them up and mention, you know, me and my books and how I do these exposés. And I would also indicate that although it may seem minor, if you just email your friends and tell them about this, but critically important is ask them to email their friends, so that it's sort of like, you know, it's like a chain reaction, and you grow to, you know, 1,000 people, 100,000 people, just by simply saying, pass this on, pass this on, pass this on, and keep passing it on about, let's say, the Paralit and the secret Nazi plan coming to fulfillment today by Dennis Cuddy.
Yeah, and you know, share this broadcast on Twitter and Facebook, and share it on YouTube, because this will be syndicated to YouTube for our YouTube viewers, and just share it in all your networks.
I also have something on YouTube because I do a lot of different things, and one is a song. I wrote a song about the New World Order, and on there you'll see pictures of a lot of my books as I am singing a song that I wrote called Just Say No to the New World Order. So you can see that on YouTube as well.
Oh, very good. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. It's really been an honor to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2. Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.